Mike Clevenger warming up on the field of Petco Park. So I had a little chance to, you know, ask around a little on what happened Thursday with USC and UCLA. Again, the chronology and the speed that that happened, it really makes your head spin. Because there was a report out of the Mercury News, I think around 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, USC, UCLA. It seems like they're going to go to the Big Ten. And by the time you could wrap your mind around that, we were getting official statements from the Pac-12, from USC, and from UCLA. That's how quick it happens. And I asked a friend of mine who works for the Pac-12 over the weekend. I said, how is it that this goes so quickly? He goes, because if you give these presidents and these regents time, if you give them too much time to deal with a lot of the blowback, they might change their mind. So once they do it, they just go. Boom. And these it's not coaching decisions. It's not athletic department decisions. They're very rarely influential the way you think they might be. These are school presidents, boards of regents, maybe big boosters, et cetera. So that was Thursday. And you know, by the time we were out of here, I mean, it's official. And today, Jonathan said it during the break, there's a story at CBS about the Big 12 potentially targeting Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado, since denied. So it's now a battle of propaganda. There's a lot going on here because television networks are expanding their conversations with the Pac-12, with the Big 12 here over the next couple of years. Chris Vanini covers college sports, covers college football. We talk to Chris all the time. He covers a lot of Group of Five college football storylines. Do appreciate that. He wrote a great piece today, Big Ten at USC, UCLA, further ruining the charm that we love about college football. And I totally agree with this. I hate that I got to listen to Colin Cowherd on this station, say things like, well, you know, you should be loyal to your revenue, not to history and tradition, because I'm with Vanini on this. Like, that's what I do love about college football. If I didn't love all that sort of stuff, I'd just watch the NFL. Chris Vanini from The Athletic joins us on Extra 1360. Chris, Darren Smith, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. You said it very well. We need to stop calling it conference realignment or expansion. The more accurate word would be consolidation, at least for the people who actually control what we currently know as college sports. This is it, right? Like this is the day that we've been pointing to for quite some while. No other conference realignment, for lack of a better term, Chris, has felt the way USC and UCLA jump into the Big Ten has felt for me. How about for you?
No, obviously Texas and Oklahoma surprised everybody last year, but it wasn't out of left field. It made sense in a lot of ways. And the Big 12 had been on shaky ground forever. For USC and UCLA, two of the longest tenured members of a conference that's 100 years old, to join a conference that has teams in New Jersey and Washington, D.C., yeah, this is it. This is the end. There's no more thought that these are going to be regional conferences that play to that. Everybody's gone completely national now. USC, UCLA throws everything out the window, upends the table of what everybody believes is possible and can be done. And ultimately, you're getting to a spot where you're going to have a handful, two or more super leagues with the biggest brands at some point. And ultimately, I think a lot of fans are going to be left behind. That may be in a few years, it may be in a decade or maybe two decades. But we're completely on this road now. There's no going back. There's no stopping it when USC and UCLA are in the same conference as Rutgers.
Chris, I love your thoughts and you know your area of expertise on television networks and the role that they play in these conversations. It's often said that Fox and ESPN, though maybe not directly pulling the strings, they're heavily involved and they're influential. I wonder if you could walk us through some of that, please.
Well, that's what's driving all this is the television money. And we've known for a while now that, you know, this period here, when the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and Big 12 TV rights come up, that there was going to be some change. And we've known that the SEC and the Big Ten will have gotten so much farther than everybody else in terms of what they're getting from TV companies because they have the most popular games, the most popular teams. More people watch, there's more hardcore fans, more people watch Big Ten and SEC games than anybody else. So it's not like there's any sort of maneuvering anybody else could have done to prevent that. But the money has gotten so big there, doubling potentially other Power Five conferences, that those schools feel like they need to make the jump. That's not to say Fox is saying, hey, USC and UCLA, you should go join the Big Ten. But it might be something like, hey, you know, while we're discussing our Big Ten TV rights deal, hey, if USC and UCLA are involved, here's how much more money we'll give you. And so then the Big Ten and it says, hey, this would be a good idea when USC and UCLA, you know, reach out. So they're not saying, hey, go here, go there, but they're telling them, you know, like, this is how, you know, this is how valuable. These are the most valuable schools that are out there. And then, you know, if you add them, you're probably going to get more money. That's what the negotiations are. And that's why you've seen realignment typically happen around TV negotiation deals, is because that's the time you're able to make a move.
And those networks, though, Chris, they're also involved with some of the conferences like the Big 12 and the Pac-12 here. So, you know, is it just about consolidation for them that they don't want to be spreading this money out for four or five different properties? Potentially, they'd just rather funnel it in there to one, maybe two different properties like the Big Ten, like the SEC. And then, you know, maybe with a little bit of our pocket change, we can go and we can fund some of these other leagues.
Yeah, you want to put more money toward the places where you know you're getting a return on that investment, like the Big Ten, like the SEC, and maybe less toward the places you're not. It was a year ago that the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, accused ESPN of trying to destabilize the Big 12. Because if the Big 12 disappeared, then ESPN wouldn't need to pay for that anymore. And it'd be off the books, you know. And ESPN denied that and everything. And the TV companies will never say it, and it'll open it up to all sorts of legal issues if they say it. But a lot of people have believed ESPN played a big role in Texas and Oklahoma moving last year, just like Fox with USC and UCLA this year, because that's where the money's coming from, ultimately.
Chris Vanini of The Athletic is joining us, and you write very well at theathletic.com, and I like this, that, you know, you write, I relate to what it is about the charm of college athletics. I realize that it's created a world of cynical thought, but I like to focus on the things like the history and tradition, and I'm not saying Colin Cowherd is wrong when he says remain loyal to your revenue, not history or tradition. I guess that's the mindset that a lot of people have, especially a Fox employee, by the way. But Chris, are you and I just in some like weird, outdated minority when it comes to college athletics here? I mean, does it not prioritize the very things that you and I love so much about college athletics? Rivalries, bands, Saturdays in the fall, all that sort of stuff. I mean, are we just out of touch?
I mean, based on the number of responses I got to the column, I don't think so. But that whole idea of loyal to the revenue, that's how the world works, maybe now, maybe always, but everything has become such a corporatized structure that if that's the only thing you're ever looking for, you're going to drive people away long term. What are you going to do with Washington State fans and Iowa State fans and Louisville and in West Virginia and these places that have really passionate fans who are passionate about their team? If their team is left out of the 40 team situation we have at the end, that doesn't mean they're going to watch it and want to be a part of it. That's where the long-term damage to college football is coming. Telling these fans of these other schools, hey, you guys don't matter, but come watch what we have over here. Like, that's not going to work. Like, I've heard from so many people who just said over the last 10 years, they watch the sport less because there's more TV timeouts or they don't like the rivalries. There's a really good Reddit post going around from a West Virginia fan who's, you know, we've been in the Big 12 for 10 years. We have zero rivals. And if we're not playing Texas and Oklahoma, you just don't care about the other games as much. And that's where everything has gone over the last 10, 20 years. We've lost so many of these rivalries. And ultimately, yeah, there are winners to this, but I'm from Michigan. I went to Michigan State, and very few Big Ten fans I've talked to are excited about this. They understand why they had to do it. They understand the money and they understand the move, but they're not excited about it. And if you've got these are the people who are the winners in this musical chairs, and if they're not excited about it, what does that say about their loyalty moving forward? Ultimately, the games will be here. We'll watch the games. I'll keep watching and stuff like that. But it's the only sport that's consolidating. All the pro leagues are trying to expand and stuff like that. It's backwards compared to how every other sport is working. And it's ultimately because they wanted a easier way to package the most valuable parts of the sport for television.
So the Pac-12 is losing USC and UCLA. Chris Vanini from The Athletic covers college football. He's joining us. What options, what viable options do you see ahead for the Pac-12, which announced that it is expediting its negotiations with its television partners? They have exclusive windows for negotiation. Like, what seems real to you? What seems plausible for the Pac-12?
Well, the Pac-12 is probably wishing it had actually added Big 12 teams a year ago when it decided not to. It's probably wishing it had agreed on playoff expansion when it had not. Those would put the league, that would put the league in a much more stable position now than if it hadn't before. You know, they're in a bit of a tougher spot because they have more valuable schools than the Big 12 did last year. It was just Texas and Oklahoma last year. That's all anybody wanted. The Pac-12's got more. The Pac-12's got Oregon and Washington. And if those two leave for somewhere, then you're basic, then you're down to not much. So obviously the Big 10, the Big 12 and the Pac-12, there are conversations back and forth. I doubt it would very much be a merger. Oregon State and Washington State are not schools that want to be added. There are Big 12 schools that the Pac-12 presidents would not want to add. So ultimately, that is the big domino that has to fall. Either a group of Big 12 schools decide to go to the Pac-12, Pac-12 schools decide to go to the Big 12, or they don't. I think we're overlooking the possibility that nothing changes. I mean, that's what happened last year. You know, there was only the Big 12 move, and everybody else stood pat. I don't know if the difference between the Big 12 and Pac-12 TV money is going to be big enough to make a difference. But if people feel like there's safety in numbers, then maybe joining a big conference could be the way to go.
Pac-12 issued a statement last week. Pac-12 Board of Directors met and authorized the conference to explore all expansion options. The 10 university presidents and chancellors remain committed to a shared mission of academic and athletic excellence on behalf of the student athletes. Chris, you've joined us many times. You know we're on in San Diego. We talked to you about the Mountain West and Group of Five programs on a regular basis, which we always appreciate and we hope continues. Obviously, the conversation here is a different one than it is in other places inside of the Pac-12 footprint and the Big Ten. People who are San Diego State supporters opening up a new stadium here in just a couple of months, they're wondering what this might mean for them, and I'd love your thoughts on that.
I mean, obviously, San Diego State would love to go to the Pac-12. Boise State would love to go to the Pac-12. SMU, Fresno State, UNLV, like, they'd all, any group of five team will accept an offer to a Power Five conference. That's the way it always is and always will be. Ultimately, it comes down to what the Pac-12 wants to do. And what has driven all of this realignment is that by adding certain schools, you increase the TV money per school. You know, you add USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, every Big Ten school is going to get more money now than they would have before. I don't know if there's anybody in the group of five that does that for the Pac-12. Boise State is probably the best TV school available. It has its own carve-out contract with Fox. You know, in the Mountain West TV deal, it gets the most eyeballs compared to anybody else in the group of five. But is it enough to increase that payout of the remaining Pac-12 schools? That we don't know. Fox knows, and I'm sure Fox is telling the Pac-12 that. San Diego State, the case is, hey, you need some footprint in Southern California now that the LA schools are gone. We've got a new stadium. We're very successful in football and men's basketball. But would San Diego State add to the per school TV payout? Probably not. Now, you could, the Pac-12 could say, all right, we're going to add these schools, but they come in at a lower share. We're going to give them less TV money than everybody else. That's what the American is doing when it added six Conference USA schools. It's giving less money to the new schools to help the original schools stay full. So these are the options, but they're not the first options. The first options are potentially grabbing Big 12 schools or ACC schools or something like that. The secondary option is when you start looking at the group of five.
Right, and just to make sure everybody understands this, because we don't, you know, nobody should feel insulted by this. This is just simple television economics, which, again, ugh. If you could get $500 million per year for the conference, I'm just using round numbers here. If you can get $500 million with USC and UCLA. And now that they've left, you might get $300 million a year from a television partner. The question you have to ask yourself is, does bringing in San Diego State and UNLV, does that increase the amount of money that you can get from your television partners, right? And at this point, Chris, it doesn't seem like anybody has the answer to that. And if anybody does have a guess on that, it seems like it doesn't seem to mean all that much financially.
Yeah, the not the total number, but the per school number. So say the Pac-12 gets $300 million for its remaining 10 teams. That's $30 million per school. Obviously, Boise State and San Diego State are not bringing in that kind of money in the Mountain West. So by going to the, if the Pac-12 adds them, that's probably going to be less per school, unless the Pac-12 decides, unless they agree to pay them lower shares or something like that to try to help everybody else stay whole. So it's not necessarily about the entire value of the deal. It's per school, because the Pac-12, say it goes from $500 million to $300 million, but now you're splitting it 10 ways instead of 12. So you basically, it comes down to, are you increasing the individual slices of the pie or are you not? That's what is driven realignment right now.
There was, and boy, we're already seeing some of the propaganda flying out this morning, huh? Pac-12 announces that it's going to open up and expedite its negotiation window. And then it didn't take long for some story to pop up here, right, that might send some shockwaves through the sport, that the Big 12, you know, a conference primarily centered around Texas, is thinking about taking Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah. So it feels like the propaganda battle's already begun here between those two conferences in particular.
Well, there was a report over the weekend about the potential meeting, and it makes sense. I mean, the Pac-12, its media rights deal is up a year before the Big 12. So by doing this now, the belief is the Pac-12 can get a better sense of what its television revenue will look like. And so it can give tangible numbers to those schools to say, hey, if you stay here, this is how much you're getting, as opposed to potentially hypothetical. It can also get more TV partners in the mix to compete for things like NBC and CBS, who are trying to get into college football more. So the Pac-12 doing this now is to try to get ahead of some of that stuff, to try to use its leverage to give some more tangible numbers to those schools, you know, as they're making their, you know, conversations.
Chris, last thing. It seems to me like anybody who you talk to, from yourself to anybody else who works for any of these leagues, everybody seems to think that the linchpin program right now is Notre Dame. So where are we with Notre Dame? What are the expectations with Notre Dame? And how long do we wait to find out exactly what their immediate and long-term future is?
No idea what Notre Dame's going to do. Nobody ever knows what Notre Dame's going to do. I don't think Notre Dame has even made any sort of decision yet. If Notre Dame wanted to make a move for more money, it would have already joined a conference. It's making less money than it could right now because it has decided not to join a conference. So there's no guarantee that they'll want to, but that's what the Big Ten is waiting for. You know, they are the big fish out there. They're a school that will increase that per school slice of the pie in the Big Ten. And that's why the Big Ten is willing to wait for them to have conversations, to go through that whole process. And if Notre Dame says no, then maybe Oregon and Washington potentially get another look. Then maybe some ACC schools, if they can get out of that grant of rights, get a look. So that the Big 12, Pac-12 part and the Notre Dame part are the two things that are – those are the things that need to happen first. And there's no guarantee they're going to happen quickly.
Well, appreciate you joining us, and also appreciate you not being completely cynical about all this. You know, like I said, it's nice to search around and not have everybody just justify some of this nonsense based on what is in the best interest of everybody's bottom line, which is not why any of us got into sports, by the way. But it's good to read what you write, and it's good to hear you speaking from the heart. Chris Vanini, we thank you very much for taking the time.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You got it. Yeah, and you know, that's the thing. I mean, at what point also do you start looking around? Now, of course, if you're San Diego State, you're like, hey, this is a huge opportunity for us. You know, this could be our moment. Like, this is something that would be of mass appeal because it's not lateral. It's not lateral to leave the Mountain West to go into the Pac-12. Are we still calling it the Pac-12? I guess we are. It's the 10. It'll be the 12 until the two officially leave. They still have another season. That'll be weird. But it's not lateral, but you know, financially, you would make the move in a heartbeat if you're San Diego State. But I hope that made sense, what it is that Vanini's trying to say and what everybody's trying to say about this sort of stuff, because it sort of sounds insulting, but it's not. It's just, if you have a pie now that's worth a lot less, you don't need to cut that up into more pieces and start sharing that when you're due to make a lot less money. So, you know, that's a total deal. Like again, we'll just stick with it. It's $300 million. We could all do this math. We don't need Scott Sibley. But if the current Pac-12 deal without USC and UCLA is going to be worth $300 million, how much does bringing San Diego State into the mix? Does that increase the value? Does it increase it to the point where teams are going to make more or less than $30 million per year? And, you know, you're not quite sure how that's going to look, what their value added is going to mean in terms of how much each slice of the pie is going to be. Now, it's interesting because I'm with Chris. Like Chris said, the best thing you could do for football, for eyes on television sets, would be Boise State and, you know, San Diego State. But from a market standpoint, DMA it's called, San Diego and Vegas might actually be the play. So, but even that, like Vegas has been one of the worst college football programs in the country for like a decade. They're not good, and they haven't been good. So that's not going to excite anybody. That's not going to keep Oregon and Washington interested. That's not going to keep Arizona State interested if they have other options. So again, it's all in a state of flux right now. It's all in a state of flux.
I'm currently reading San Diego State's television valuation. It's only $7 million for the Mountain West Network. Mm-hmm. So if you're telling me that each Pac-12 school is making $30 million off the $300 million deal and you're adding, let's say, $10 million because going to Power 5 school, you're making less money individually. So this move doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, is, you know, none of us got into this business for this sort of stuff. For the math, for DMA talk, for AAV. What's your AAV in that DMA? That's not why any of us got into this.
Why did we get into it?
Because supposedly we like sports. But it's, you know, it's like, this is just the worst form of capitalism. I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound, I'm not anti-capitalist. But like, this is just the worst form of capitalism, because this sort of justification, as I keep seeing it and hearing it with Colin and other Fox guys, funny Fox guys, who stand to have their network benefit greatly from adding USC and UCLA. But when you hear this, you know, over and over and over again, you know, you sort of, you know, this is the kind of mindset that leads people to justify an NFL team relocating, because it's about the bottom line. And like, that's not what sports, I'm so tired of everything just being painted with, well, it's just business. Sports is big business now. Like, I understand, but I'm tired of just brushing over stuff from LIV Golf to China to Olympics and World Cups and relocation and destroying over a century's worth of tradition in college athletics just because we're saying it's big business. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you know, like, we all should want to make money, but, and who's to say any of us that are a school president at USC or UCLA would have the stones to turn down $50 extra million a year. But again, it's just the worst form of capitalism.
But isn't this how it all works? Like, let's say Extra 1360 was a standalone station for a while, got successful, iHeart comes in, buys it, starts paying you guys more money. But in turn,
how much more money? Double, triple? No, you could. That matters.
All right,
I'm serious.
We'll
how much
call,
more money?
We'll call like 2.5 times more. But the return, the return on investment has to be far more significant, because now they care far more about money. That the mom and pop into the corporate world, like, the matriculation happens with everything. We're just seeing it now happen in a place where tradition has always been so sacred.
Right, but you know, mom and pop radio station. It's a nice story. Hopefully, somebody cashes in on that. But you know, we're not just severing ties decades and I mean centuries in some cases with some of these schools. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, in the hypothetical, I mean, it's fair. I don't know. Right. Maybe this is what happened to Extra back in the day. This is what happened to Extra 690. Just got gobbled up by Clear Channel, which took the whole station up the road and turned it into an LA radio station, I suppose. I guess maybe there's a point there someplace. I'm just not smart enough to put it together on the fly. But, you know, I don't, you know, that form of capitalism I'm okay with. Like a small brewery, right? Stone just sold to Sapporo. okay. Like,
you don't think in 5 years the tradition that Stone had is now going to be dissolved?
I don't.
No idea.
I don't know. But you know, that's different than this. You know, that's different than just justifying everything by saying, well, you know, it's big business. You know, like big business is how you end up going, yeah, you know, you should leave that market you've been in for 56